Blog Talk Radio.
And so we're just excited now. Wants you to like, share,
yes,
comment. I believe
yes,
there's a radio
yes,
number that he will give if you want to call
yes,
in and
yes,
be a part
sir.
Of the show. We want you to come
and
visit.
Yes,
I'm trying to keep my faith.
We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything. This is everything. Deliver us serenity. Deliver us peace. Deliver us love. And we know we need it. You know we need it. You know we need it. Pray for Paris. Pray for the parents. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything. Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel faith, and in my holy war.
Why send oppression, not blessings? Why, oh, why'd you do me wrong? You persecute the weak because it makes you feel so strong. Don't have much strength to fight, so I look to the light. Don't make these wrongs turn right. Head up high, I look to the light. Hey, cause I know that you'll make everything alright. And I know that you'll take good care of your child. No longer am I afraid of the night, cause I look to the light.
When they come for you, I will shield your name. I will field their questions. I will feel your pain. No one can judge. They don't know. Foot on the devil's neck to the drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia. Treat the demons just like Pam. I mean, I fuck with your friends, but damn, Gina, I've been this way since Arthur was anteater. Now they wanna hit me with the woo after bam. Trying to snap photos of family. My daughter look just like Sia. You can't see her. You can feel the lyrics of spirit coming in braille. Summon of the underground, come and follow the trail. I made Sunday candy, I'm never going to hell. I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail. You tell us do a good ass job with Chance 3. I hear you gotta sell it to snatch the Grammy. Let's make it so free and the bar so hard that the day one gosh darn part you can't tweet. This is my part, nobody else speak. This is my part, nobody else speak. This little light of mine. Glory be to God, yeah. I'ma make sure that they go where they can't go. If they don't wanna ride, I'ma still give them raincoats. Know what God said when he made the first rainbow? Just notice at the end of fucking lane for the intro. I'm just having fun with it. You know that a nigga was lost. I laugh in my head cause I bet that my ex looking back like a pillar of salt. Cause they flipped the script on your ass like Wesley and Spike. You cannot mess with the light. Look at the channel from 79. We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith.
Yes, Jesus.
But I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe. And in my holy
world. Father, this prayer's for everyone that feels they're not good enough. This prayer's for everybody that feels that they're too messed up. For everyone that feels they said I'm sorry too many times, You can never go too far when you can't come back home again. That's why I need
everyone, I'm Tyron Joe, host of the BZNZ Internet Talk Radio Show, and it gives me great pleasure and honor to be able to present our wonderful show. BZNZ is a play on the word business. It is an online hub for conversation, enlightenment, and entertainment on the business of daily life. BZNZ shines a light on the realities generated by pop culture, society, and the challenges of daily living. We have spoke and will continue to speak on topics ranging from government, education, religion, health. Last but not least, one of our biggest topics, dating. We're not experts in any of the fields, but we just want to do our part and help. Please tune in every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, www.blogtalkradio.com/BZNZ. Also, our call-in number is area code 323-870-4617, and I cannot wait to hear from you. It's going to be great.
Well, all right. Greetings, everyone. Greetings, everyone. Tyron Joe here with the BZNZ Internet Talk Radio Show. Yeah, we got the same, you know how we do it when I start up, the same little jitters. That you hear in the microphone. Hopefully, that'll be going out pretty soon. Don't know where it'll be coming from. But you know how it is. They don't want good sound doctrine to go live over the air. But it's okay. We're going to do it anyhow. You know, tonight, I'm going to be on my best behavior tonight while we got guests in the building. I'm going to be on my best behavior. I can't clown like I want to. First of all, let me give a shout out. Shout out to the brother that wanted to show his appreciation for our show, and man, look what he did. He made a hat, brother off the 25th floor. That's all I know. I don't know his name. I just know he worked on the 25th floor, and he made a hat to show his appreciation for the show. So shout out to that brother. Also shout out to Mr. D. He made a T-shirt. And that's great. He made a T-shirt that go with the hat. So, you know, one of these days, I'm going to wear both of them. But that T-shirt, though, he didn't have it in my size. So, you know what that means? I got to push back from a bag of Flamin' Hot Doritos before we can really get it popping.
That's right.
But tonight, man, we have a great show. We're talking about the measure of a leader, the political. You know, talking about a leader, you know, it's not no easy thing to do and to be. It's not easy to be a leader, and that's the part about it. Many people, you know, when they get into a leadership position, they get their briefcase, they get their pocketbook, and they're ready to run. But where did their mind go? Did they get their mind to go along with the briefcase and the pocketbook? Because there's a lot of studying and learning that's going to go along with that. And most of it, you got to learn the people that you lead. So you know where to lead them.
Right. How
did Moses become a great leader? Because Moses knew the people of Israel. How did Jesus? Oh, well, I'm not a preacher. Let me stop. But, you know, how did Jesus become a leader? Because Jesus knew his people. God. How is God God? He knows his people. So, you know, without further ado, I'm not going to be long because I know we got a second segment. We got a second segment coming. I don't even see my guest. I mean, I don't see my co-host. They probably be in later on. So, well, we have a second segment this evening where we're gonna just talk about the young lady that's been in the news, Aisha Curry. Really, the Facebook news. We're gonna just rap about it just a little bit because I don't think people really understand what she did. So we're gonna talk about that later on, but. Tonight, let me go ahead and read the bio of the gentleman that's in the building. I got to do it right. You know how I do it. I got to do it right. I don't do it at all. So let me read this gentleman's bio. Mr. Lipscomb grew up in a rough and underprivileged neighborhood in central Indianapolis, Indiana. It's a tough way of life in my neighborhood, and I wanted a way out. Mr. Lipscomb said. When asked what motivated him to start this organization, he didn't see any alternatives in Indianapolis, so he moved on to Illinois. He eventually moved back to Indianapolis to be closer to his family. However, this time when he came back, he had something to offer that would help people better their lives. The organization appeals to social service agencies, construction apprentice programs, churches, and community groups who are also in the fight to help people better their lives through meaningful employment. Love Life Outreach, vocational training, partnered with Gateway to Employment, Healthy Indiana Plan, and Work One to accomplish the mission. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome Mr. Antonio Lipscomb.
Thank you so much, sir, for having me on your show. I'm a fan of yours. I kind of watch you.
Oh, thank you.
Late in the evening to keep current and see how things are going around town. And I think you're doing an excellent job.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Well, I want to tell you that the question that I called you about on Tuesday, mm-hmm. I went back in my memory, and I think I had what they call a senior moment.
Okay.
Yeah, because I thought about it. I really thought that I only had one question, but I started remembering. I was like, hold on, I do remember seeing this name on there, and I remember voting for this name. I voted for that name. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, I guess I had two questions then. But I guess what threw everybody off was there was only two offices that we was voting for,
right.
And normally it's like a whole list. That's right. What kind of got everybody all, shook up, because I wasn't the only one that was shook up about, man, what kind of ballot was that that I just voted on?
Right,
because man, like, that ballot only took like 1 second, and then, voila, it was over with. So, right. Like, what is this? Are we doing some funny business in the polls? So, some people, they didn't even have a council candidate to vote for because they said that that councilman didn't have an opponent.
Right. Well, yeah, we talked about the primary elections, and when you deal with the primary, a lot of times it's a struggle for a lot of people to come out and be involved in the primaries, but people really need to understand the importance of the primaries, because one of the controversial things that happened by not participating in the primary, two candidates were denied the right to run. And that's Belinda and D. Ross. And so they had to run independent as well as I am running independent. And if you're not careful, if you don't know how to navigate how to get to the person that you need to get to, then things can become tricky because it's set up to where they kind of want you to be programmed to where you just vote in straight party. And it's funny how you asked that question, because it's important for us to understand what we're doing when it's time to vote. And oftentimes what we're discovering is a lot of people are registered to vote, but they don't want to come out to vote. And I think that has something to do with the way things are happening, whether it be the two parties, that they're major parties that they're affiliated with. When you look at the Democratic Party and you look at the Republican Party, and then you look at how things affect us, and you have to step back and un- st- step back and ask yourself a question. How is things getting better when the Democrats are in power for the urban community? From my estimation, I'm seeing that things are staying consistent, whether it be economic empowerment, whether it be business, entrepreneurship, whether it be crime, whether it be social service, social justice issues. Nothing will move unless we move it. And so it's very important that we look at what we're doing when it comes to the political process, how we go about it, who we allow to represent us. Do we vote straight ticket, straight Democrat, because we have been programmed primarily to do so with no end result that's helping us, or do we look at how we can make a change and a difference to vote for the people that don't represent our interests?
I think you make a great point, because a lot of people, you know, including myself, I know just a little bit of the basics of, you know, the voting process, but a lot of people, they don't really know. They don't even know what, you know, Democrat is all about, or Republican all about, the party is all about. They just vote whatever their mother or father vote.
Right.
That's what they do. Well, my mama was a Democrat, so I'm a Democrat. My daddy was a Republican, so I'm a Republican.
Right.
You know, my daddy like him, so I'm going to vote for him. My mama like her, so I'm going to vote for her.
Right.
And you know, that's why we've been doing this show, is to educate the people on what's going on in the community. So what I wanted to ask you is, what was it that got you to this point to where you said, enough is enough, let me go ahead and represent my people?
Well, first of all, if you're doing business as a black man in Indianapolis, Indiana, you can understand discrimination and racism on another level. Now, if you fit the mold of going into mainstream and doing kind of the way we've been programmed to do, you know, go to school, go to college, go to work, then if you're earning a good livable wage, you probably won't have you can become so comfortable that you're not challenged to do much more than that. But if you're an entrepreneur and you're looking to obtain contracts, you're looking to compete on a corporate and state or global level, you'll start seeing a variety of different barriers that come up, and you start wondering, why is this happening to me? What's going on? It's because, okay, yeah, now we have a right to vote, but let's keep everyone uneducated so that you understand the political system. Simultaneously, let's move millions and millions and millions of dollars toward corporate interests. Let's not take care of the poor. We'll only clean up the streets when it's election time. We'll fix the streets that we want to fix, but the streets we don't want to fix, we don't have to fix.
Mm-hmm,
we'll fix the parks, the type of parks that we don't want to fix. Matter of fact, we'll fix a park when it's time for regeneration. We'll put in a grocery store when it's time for regeneration. We'll fix the potholes. We'll get rid of the dope houses. We'll fix the abandoned houses up when it's time for regeneration. So with that in mind, we need to understand that politics is one of the key leading roles in having this take place. When you look at Donald Trump and his success as far as economics, his father was one who was very involved with politics, and how he was able to get wealth was through renting out houses, and a lot of that dealt with government funding. So Donald Trump was able to build Trump Towers based off the legacy of his father. And then there was a controversial decision where Donald Trump's father played in between the law. I mean, he was almost indicted, but it was not enough teeth in the law that would have hurt his economic base. So what I'm saying is, if we understand the amount of money and opportunities that city council, the city government has, and we are willing to put that knowledge to use, then it would motivate us enough to come out to vote. There's a reason why we don't have grocery stores in our community. There's a reason why we travel 21.5 miles out of our community because we don't have own our businesses in our community. There's a reason why we can't employ people in our community because we don't own our own businesses. 83% of 46218, 83% of those people rent houses. We don't even own our own houses. So we limited ourselves when it comes to being able to participate in this economic country, the economics of this country. And that all is governed through politics. And so the reason why we're not getting where we need to go is because we're not getting involved in using our capital and our wealth and binding together from a political position to move ourselves forward, you know. And it's extremely important that we understand that, because when you look at our Mexican brothers, they understand how to move things very well. And that's why you see Mexican grocery stores, you see houses that they live in, and it seems like they're getting loans, it seems like they're on these construction jobs. Like 17.2% of Mexicans are on these jobs. When it comes to us, we're like, hey, women is like 2.8.
They have something that we lacking in, which is something I've been talking about for the longest, that unity, you know, how to come together is what you said, you know, coming together. We like that come togetherness, you know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that, you know, stopping us from doing it, but, you
right.
know.
Well, a lot of it, like you said, is education.
True.
When you don't understand how things work, then you tend not to be involved. And being that we just decide not to be involved, when it's time for changes to be made, they're not going to be made for us because we're not at the table. Like Bill Crawford said, either you're at the table or you're on the menu. And so I'm believing, I don't have a lot of money, you know, I'm not the favorite. I don't have a political party backing me. I'm just coming to the people saying, hey, let's wake up. Let's come together. Let's move forward. I'll give everything I've got, because I believe in people. And
yeah,
I believe in the least of the people. I believe in the people that the city has given up on. I believe in the people that they would rather write a city ordinance and lock up if they caught it at a certain time in downtown. I believe in those people. And I believe that they need a voice. The homeless need a voice. The poor need a voice. The middle class need a voice. And what better way to get that done than removing ourselves from the political parties that has really strangled us. They have strangled us so bad and taken everything, and it's a game. It's really a game.
It is.
And it's not a checker game. And like you just mentioned, unity, coming together. If we don't come together and we continue to play checkers, we're going to be that much further and further behind. These people are thinking four, five, six moves, four, five, six generations ahead of us, while we're still trying to figure out how we can get ourselves together with the first generation. And I'm going to tell you something. Regardless of the mayor's race, whether it be the Republican mayor that's coming up or whether it be the Democrat mayor that will get the slot, if we don't get people who have an independent way of thinking to the table that can hold either mayor accountable, I guarantee you we will be in the same position, in the same conditions 4 years from now. Ask this question. Why is it, ask this question. Maybe your radio listening audience can call in and also chime in on this. But why is it that the city finds its way of doing things out of the box and helping around election year, but all the other years you're not paying attention to anything, and you really honestly, seriously, sincerely do not care about people that are poor in urban areas? But when election time comes, now all of a sudden you have this heart of compassion, and you want to try to do things, you want to try to fix things. But what happens when election time is gone? Do you come around only when it's time to vote? And you need to get your slot. Now, once you get your slot, now I can't come up on the 25th floor. You know, I may come when it's around election time and you want to try to see who you can pay off. But other than that, I don't have, and you see, I know you're a man that don't mind having all the truth told on your show.
But
what's happening is we got these political parties. They find the finest and brightest African-Americans who's supposed to be in leadership to help support us and move us forward to the next level. They find them. They pay them off. They give them money for their program, or they give them some way of means of a position to live off of. And then, of course, we lose that intelligence of that brightness of the mind of that person who could get us out of poverty. And we have, and I'm going to stare in the camera right now and tell you, we got too many black folks that are getting paid to help a system of oppression to keep us bound. And it's a sad thing. And the thing about it is, we make these people popular. We brag on these people. We tell people how great they are. But really, they are selling us out to the lowest bidder. And they are play a huge role in keeping the dam of prosperity from flowing in our community. It's not just what you call white people or whatever. Black people that have leadership roles in this city is standing up doing the same exact thing, and we need to stop.
So basically you're saying that a lot of these black politicians, they bought and paid for.
Not only just black politicians, preachers, social leaders, executives, you know, when they see a guy like me, they turn their, you know, nose up at me, and they don't really want to have much to do with me because I'm not bought into the system.
Right. They can't break you. They can't make you bend the knee.
Well, man, I come from four kids. My mom had four kids at the age of 19. And she struggled. You know, she got involved in a little bit of substance abuse and whatnot, but she did the best she could with us. She instilled in me discipline. And I always understood how to make a little work. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I don't need a whole bunch to get nothing done.
Mm-hmm.
And all I need is a chance and an opportunity to come in the room and say what I need to say. But I'm believing that I'm going to start a fire. I'm believing that the people that are listening and watching are going to get a hold of what we're saying, and we're going to come out in masses, and we're going to stop the madness, because it's not going to stop through the Democratic Party. And I'm not saying, and I want to be clear, I'm not saying all preachers. I want to make that very clear. I'm not saying all preachers. I'm not saying all social agencies with their executives. I'm not saying, but we have enough. We have enough people that are getting paid that these organizations feel comfortable, these corporations feel comfortable enough to be able to have us not be at the table. So my question to you, my Facebook family and friends, when are we going to say enough is enough? Do we need the mayor's office to stop these crimes and these homicides, or can we stop them? Do we need the police chief to stop what's going on and give us, put it in these new jails that they're building? Do we need that, or can we come out collectively together and say, no, we're going to take care of our youth. We're going to give them something to do. We're going to educate them. We don't need you to hold on to our money and ship our money to a variety of different areas. We want our money, and we don't want to do it when you feel like you want to have other people move into our communities. We want our money, and we need to make sure we hold whatever elected officials accountable. You know, I was researching and I was looking up something. When you look at, I think you mentioned this earlier, something about slavery or something like that. But when you look at what this country owes us, there's $4.6 trillion that we are owed as black people in this country.
How did it come down to $4.6 trillion?
Well, you look at what's equivalent to every black person in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at 40 acres and a mule, you'll calculate the estimated $4.6 trillion that's owed to African-American people. And we are afraid to stand up and say, hey, we need reparation. But at the same time, we will allow our communities to be gentrified. So here's the thing. When are we going to get a backbone? When are we going to say, hey, I'm willing to stand like our forefathers did, our freedom fighters did, stand toe-to-toe. You can put the dogs on me. You can put the hoses on me. Whatever you do, you can lock me up in jail. You can throw away the key. But at the end of the day, I'm going to stand for the rights of my people.
You know what? I'm going to say that's interesting that you bring up that point, talking about reparations, ADOS, because maybe about a month, maybe a month or 2 months ago, I had posted up about it because I've been watching some of the candidates that's running for the presidential office and watching some of their their feedback as far as ADOS, and a lot of them, but the ones that I watched, they really went down with it. So I posted it up on my Facebook page. I said, look at this. I'm like, look at the candidates that y'all really want to win. The candidates y'all running at, though, they're not even willing to give you no ADOS, no reparation.
Yeah.
How do you all feel about that? What'd I do that for? I got called all kind of names. People call me all kind of stupid, this, dumb, that, all that, because they talking about some, no, we don't need no reparations. I said, well, that ain't what I was saying. I was asking, how do you feel about it? Because these candidates, they don't even want to give it to you. You know, off the top, they don't even want to give you no reparations, none of that. And, you know, y'all holler at me talking about it, but I'm saying this is a great discussion that you should ask these candidates. Like, these candidates running for office, they talking about tangible 2020. So that is a great question to ask. Okay, what are you going to do for the black people?
That's a fair question. And if you don't mind me making one correction, right?
Go ahead.
It's not that they're giving us anything.
Okay.
This is what was spoken to the law.
Yeah, right.
And it's one thing on me coming to you and saying, Doc, can I borrow $5?
Right.
Another thing on saying, I've done this work.
Yeah.
And now I'm due my money. That's two different positions.
Right.
And so, well, let's keep it locally because I'm running a local race, so I'm going to keep it local.
Okay.
Look at this. Indiana's supposed to do 15% minority business with black-owned Latino companies.
Right.
Do you realize they gave $571 million to build that jail? You know how much is supposed to come to black contractors? $100 million. Even other projects, 16 Tech, they gave $30 million. You got the Indigo with all the red lines. Every time they give money toward a project, we supposed to have black-owned companies to come and be a part of that. Just think about if we were just to get that amount of money flowing through our community, what type of community would we have? We wouldn't even need the jail. If they would just give us the 15%. But see, in the law, it states that, okay, well, we can just do a good faith effort, and if we can show that we tried, then we really don't have to do it. Well, as a sitting city council person, one of the things I think I should be trying to work on real quick, like, would be how we can make this statute or this law stick to where if we give city dollars to you to do your project,
right,
you must find these people. And if you cannot find these people, that's fine. Just return the money.
Yeah. Take the contract back.
We got
a caller and hit the number one. Good afternoon, Mr. Caffey. How you doing tonight, sir?
Fine, sir. How's everybody? I hope everybody's doing fine. I hope everybody has a very pleasant Mother's Day. Don't forget your mama.
Absolutely.
She's the only one you'll ever have.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. You hit the number one, Mr. Caffey?
Pardon me?
You hit the number one, sir. You had a question. I see that you hit the number one.
I have no questions. I'm just listening. I have no questions.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, Antonio. What are some of the other things that's on your platform that once elected that you're gonna bring out on the platform?
Well, there's five key areas that I think that we need to look at. Social justice is one of the main and key points that we look at. I don't know if you know or follow this, but there was a Senate Bill 279 that was trying to come into fruition through the State House. They were looking to decrease the age of waivers for our 12 and 13-year-olds to be sentenced to adult jails and adult prisons,
mm-hmm.
whether they commit murder or attempted murder. Now, this legislation stemmed from an incident that happened in Noblesville. White kid, I think, shot a teacher or something. The teacher didn't die.
Last year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they were trying to make it a law so that 12 and 13-year-olds would be put in adult jail and adult prisons. And so we fought this tooth and nail. For my regulation, any waiver that has been done in Indiana has affected no one but black males.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, 12 waivers out of the 12, all of them, not 7 out of, you know,
hey,
7 out of 5. Or that, no, all 12 black African-American
yeah.
males. So we fought that bill. I got with Dr. Hicks, the Children's Action Initiative. I can't call the full name, but they mainly led it, along with a few of the pastors. And of course, we were successful to not get a hearing on it. Representative John Bartlett stepped out on it. Of course, we had Senator Taylor. He fought for us. And what they tried to do was take some of that language and stick it into House Bill 1142. No, I think it's 1114 that they try to write the language in that to write off that. And what they were trying to do with that was any 12-year-old didn't have anything to do with a gun. First it was about a gun. And then they took the gun language out and said if there's attempted murder that they could be thrown into adult jail or adult prison. But the ironic thing is, when I was younger, I was a troubled teen, and a couple of young men was breaking out of juvenile center, and I went with them. And I'm running down 25th Street, and I thought I was going to go right back to the jail, the juvenile, and they put me in jail. And I spent 30 days in the jail. Now, when you're in the real jail, Marion County Jail, you're at the mercy of those inmates because the guards, they circle around. They're not always visually looking at you. And so if the inmates want to do something to you, they could very well do it.
Easily do it.
You know, and I was a hard-headed, tough kid, but then we'll grow them in and they say, hey, sure, you know, just keep your mouth shut and you'll be all right, you know. But I was at the mercy. I understood I was at the mercy of the inmates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't have to go to prison. I don't have a prison adult record or nothing like that. But I'm just saying I had that experience as a teen. And I know that's something that no teenager needs to have to go through.
Right.
So we were successful in fighting that down. So decreasing crime by fighting unjust laws and so forth, working with reentry. I do a lot of work with reentry. As well as looking at how we can educate. Education is very important so that we can get people livable wage jobs.
Right.
I just left Willard's Mission, and I'm working with the people in the homeless shelters, helping them get educated, helping them get temporary housing so that they can be a part of contributing to the tax base instead of being a recipient and taken away from it. Then we move up to home ownership. There used to be a time when we value owning our own homes, but now it's real popular to rent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't pass anything down as far as property or anything of that nature.
True.
If you just rent and you give a lot of money to people who have corporations that are making bad money off you and they don't really take care of the houses that well. I mean, you know, it's used as a profit type situation. Some landlords don't, but the majority of them do, but the majority of them don't. So, with that in mind, we don't own our own houses. So a lot of times we don't have a credit and we don't have anything that we could put up if we wanted to start our own business because sometimes the banks look at your credit, but they also look at what do you have as a monetary value that you could support if you wanted to take out a business loan and so forth. Well, we don't own those type of things, so now we can't own our own businesses. So we need to look at how we can own our own homes, own our own businesses. And the last point, but not the least, is what we just talked about earlier, unity, coming together, community transformation by doing it within and not looking community engagement, like meeting your neighbors and getting involved in your community and that sort of thing. Those are the five things that I've been very, very passionate about.
Okay. I want to see if I got someone to text me a couple questions about something that you had said earlier. But if he can say it himself, he said he had a chipped tooth. He said he couldn't really talk. He said he was crying. Hey, Mr. D, can you hear me?
I didn't hear you.
Can you talk?
I can't talk. I'm going to listen.
Okay. Okay, okay.
But
what'd you say?
Two questions. How do you?
Okay, okay. He had a question that he was, something he was saying. He said, what about the black slave on the East Coast? I guess that was referring to when you was talking about the reparations, because this is something that he's been banging on this all week with me about reparations, saying that not all slave owners was white, which is true. History lets us know that not every slave owner that was out there was white. He said there is a black slave owner that was on the East Coast. He was one of the biggest slave owners out there.
Well, he won't get paid then. We take him out of the equation. If he was doing all that, he can't get nothing. We refer back to the ones who came out of slavery. That, you know, well, here's the deal. It's not really my decision to make for someone else's. This is what was said in law.
Right.
So it's not about how I feel about it, how you feel about it. It's about what was put in law. 40 acres and a mule. And so if we're going to honor the law, then we need to do it in this whole totality and not pick and choose when we want to honor it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I look at it like this. You know, one guy, I was thinking he'd done a crime, and he's like, well, they gave me 14 years, and I don't think that's fair to the crime. Well, see, the thing about it is if you commit the crime, then you're subject to what the judge will give you. You can't go to the judge and say, well, look, judge, this is the amount of time I want for this crime. No, the judge has the liberty and the right and the freedom to give you what they feel they want to give you in relation to the law, because there are restrictions what the judge can do as far as the law is concerned.
Right.
So, but with that in mind, if the judge has the right to do that, how much so do we have the right to collect what has been told to us, that has been signed into law? This is not something that we're just talking about frivolously. This is a law that has been signed that was never honored.
Right. He also was asking about when you were talking about the contracts that need to get them contracts and get that money. He asked, he said, what about the black contractor that is a front for the white man?
Now, that's a very good question, and I appreciate that question, because that's a question that's not limited to Indianapolis. This is a system of oppression, and it's good that you talked about slavery, because you look at how things were done through slavery. Really, because we were that low paying, or sometimes we get paid at all, a labor force that helped build this country. We built the economic base of this country, of
True.
The wealth of this country.
Mm-hmm.
But as we begin to migrate from the South to the North, of course, the South was really oppressive to us, so we start coming up North. But as we were coming up North, guess what they used as a law to keep us from getting what we needed to get in construction? It's called the last law, and you can take this out with your attorney, because this attorney shared this with
me. Okay.
The last discriminative law from the civil rights movement is still on the books. It's called the Davin-Bacon's wage. The reason why they used the Davin-Bacon's, and this is David Bacon going into court, forcing the companies to have to pay a certain wage. So if you are a high-skilled low-paid workforce, the way you get your bids is because you come under, you come with that high skill, but you come under as a bid, so you're always going to win the work. So how do we stop you from winning the work? We make you pay a higher wage, and that's called the Dave and Baker's wage.
So the one that paid the highest wage gets
There was this high wage that allowed the Europeans to now compete with us being high skill, low paid.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Right.
And so then you see the Europeans taking over the workforce of construction because we couldn't compete now. And so now you don't see those black companies that compete on those levels. But that was systematic, and they did it through the court system.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying as far as legislation. We have to understand how things work. This, we got to press through the law, the lawmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And we elect lawmakers. And we, if we don't get involved in the lawmaking of having people who make these laws to where they are sensitive to our concerns and our issues. So the thing of it is, how do you deal with a contractor that's a front? Really, they should go to jail. Somebody should go to jail. That's fraud. That's fraud. So let's elect a prosecutor that understands the fact and lawmakers that understand the fact that we have been getting robbed for centuries, and these backhand deals need to stop because really it's a system of oppression that's stopping us from moving forward economically.
I'm with you on that because a lot of these black men and black women and Mr. D, he has a term called "I wish I was African American." A lot of them that you know that's fronting for the white man, as he said, or that's just you know selling us out. There should be some type of repercussion for that. Like, why do you keep on selling us out when we trying to build something amongst each other, but you keep on putting us out there, getting it towed down?
But Ty, you know that's fraud.
Right.
If there are certain criteria there, and you know that you're signing up primarily to be a front for that person, you are lying.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, because you're lying, that's fraud, and somebody should have a repercussion.
Yeah.
The person that signed up for it should go to jail,
mm-hmm.
and the person that allowed them to sign up for it
right.
and in cahoots with them should pay such a healthy fine that we become a very strong deterrent
yeah.
toward that type of behavior.
Same as all these black groups that was infiltrated. They had, you know, they had these agents that was in the group to, you know, turn them out or to give them over to the FBI. So, you know,
same thing.
It's craziness. But I wanted to tell you before you get out of here, I wanted to ask you to explain to everybody where is District 17 to our viewers and listeners that might listen in the archives, so they know exactly what the coordinates. And they know, you know, so they know when they go to that ballot box in November, they know to get Antonio Lipson.
Yeah, we run on 34th Street between Emerson and College, and we could run all the way down to, like, Fountain Square. And about over 35,000, there's a high percentage of African-Americans, I think it's like 62% African-Americans. We have one of the largest homicide rates. We have one of the largest returning citizens,
mm-hmm.
Population residencies. So we got a lot of problems in our district, but we do have some executives in our district, some great organizations, social organizations, and we just need to see how we can just win. What's going on the northern part of the district and, excuse me, on the southern part of the district, like the southeast district, and see what we can do to make that look like what it needs to look when it come up to, from Fountain Square on up to Martindale Brightwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He wrote back and said, "You are right. The teenagers should not be in adult jail." I guess what you were speaking about earlier about them putting, but I guess that law that you were saying the 13-year-old, and I want to say that too. As soon as he was talking about that they wanted to make that law, as soon as the boy shot it, I'm like, oh, man, that law ain't gonna do nothing but affect black people, because he probably that boy ain't gonna go to big boy jail. That white boy ain't gonna go to big boy jail. That's gonna be strictly for the Negroes. And I think, man, I like your platform. I like what you're saying, because that's what the whole basis of all this is that black people, we really need to come together. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that if we had a strong, you know, us black people, if we had a strong unity bond, do you think that we should even vote? If we already had unity amongst ourselves to where all we had to do is make a call, like, you know, wait, we need a meeting tomorrow because we need to do X, Y, and Z, and all you had to do is to make a phone call, and it was done.
Yeah. Now, that should be done anyway. But the reason why you get involved in voting is because of those variety of different issues that I just mentioned to you when it comes to the streets, potholes, you know, taxes, how we move money. You know, you have what you call the TIF dollars because you're a taxpayer, and you should have a right. Why would you forego the right on all the money that's being collected through the city council? There's a budget there that the city has and can give back toward the community. I was in one city council meeting. They gave $30 million to the pot because the pot threatened to leave. They didn't even have a date when they were going to leave. But they gave $30 million to that company to keep them in Pike Township. So what I'm saying is, yeah, city council and city government has its problems, but do you throw the baby away with the bathwater?
No.
You don't do that. In other words, I tell you what, this is what I would love to do. If all the black people would come together and you wouldn't have a mind, you don't really want to vote, but you just make a city ordinance that you can just give me all the money instead of voting on it, you know. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You would instantly make me a billionaire.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Give me all the money.
Yeah, just give me all the money. If you don't want to have no say over it, just tell you what, just pour it all over to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, you wouldn't think that would be fair, right?
Right, absolutely.
Okay, so what I'm saying is we vote because we are invested in, we have a vested interest. We're paying money to the city, and we deserve to say where that money goes.
I'm just coming from a standpoint of, like, I look at some of the other groups, and, you know, I don't know if they're really into the voting, but other groups, I know when I go to vote, I don't see too many other groups. I may see some Latinos at the voting polls, but we have the Koreans that's here, the Chinese that's here. I've never seen any of them at the voting poll, but at the end of the day, they get whatever they want.
They got a whole country back in this.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'd go nowhere in Africa and have nothing sent over to
no.
us. You know what I mean? And Northern Africa have to send anything over to us because we are wealthy. We spend, what, $1.3 trillion into this?
Spending power.
You see what I'm saying? So we have a right to say where the wealth of this country should go.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you don't vote, you won't have very much say.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, we definitely need to vote. I mean, where we at now, I'm just saying that once we get to that level to where, you know, we good with or without the government, because that's how I look at it. Some of these groups, they don't really need the government because a lot of these groups, they influence the government.
Yeah,
they can just call, pick up a phone,
yeah.
And they call whoever's in office, and they tell them this is what I need, and this is how I want it done.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be at the point where we you know, self-sufficient, and
right.
And we maybe own something to where we can just do business together and not really worry about that. That would be a great thing within the ideal world, but that to me would be. We will continue to be in the condition we're in unless we're willing to go to the polls and make a difference.
He just wrote, he said, council seat is good, but the house is where the real laws are made.
Yeah, I agree. State, when you go through the state, that's good, but we got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know, and I want to start it. I want to start in my own backyard. Just think if every city council represented the people that live in their district well, and they took care of their own neighborhood, then what kind of state would we have?
Right.
And then you look at not only what kind of state would we have, but what kind of country would we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to start in my own backyard. I wouldn't dare try to start on the state level. I want to start in my own backyard and go from there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, Mr. Cappy, did you have any last questions, anything?
No, sir, not at all. I just enjoyed listening to him. He sounds very good, very intelligent, and he's got my backing.
All right.
Well, bless you, sir, and I want to tell you how much I really do appreciate that. And even if there's any other listening audiences out there, people out there, the way I keep going is through small donations. I haven't taken any money from any special interest group. I don't have any party backing. This is everything you see when it comes to material is because my group has done a small fundraiser. I've given out my own pocket. And so I thank you for your backing. I thank you for just listening to me and giving me those words of encouragement. If there's any way that you can help monetarily,
Let them know how to catch up with you and all that.
Yeah, my phone number is 317-205-7058. That's my direct cell number. And then, of course, my email address is Antonio, that's A-N-T-O-N-I-O, it's L-L-O, V as in Victor, T as in Tom.com. And I have a website for us, my campaign, but I have it down now because I'm doing some upgrades. I want to make sure now that people understand that I'm no longer on the Democratic ticket, which they all should know by now because the Democrats have selected their representative. And I think the Republicans is not running anybody against him. His name is Zach Adamson. He's been in the seat for 6 years. And he's over really the Department of Public Works. He's the chairman over the Department of Public Works when you talk about those potholes and stuff like that. And he also serves as a person who determines who gets contracts. And see, a lot of people don't even know that. So he got 38.2% of the people in poverty, but yet he's not even helping anybody in the community get business and contracts. So just think about that for a second. You know, so this is the type of thing I'm going to bring to the table. I'm going to try to get as many in our community, in our district. We're going to try to get as many contracts. As a matter of fact, we do have a event going on Friday. Dr. Rush is bringing in businesses. I think a lot of the community leaders, a lot of the business owners, that they're going to look at how they could get capital. And so we have banks that's coming in, and that event is going to be held at 2325 North New York Street. It's going to be at 1:00. So for those who have small businesses and you're looking to get capacity for your business, you want to meet us over there on New York Street. That's 2325 East New York Street to see how you can get some capital for your business. And then on the 21st of this same month over at the Edna Martin Center, from 5 to 8, we have a resource fair where we're bringing in a lot of the vendors, and they're going to showcase what they have to offer our community. So we are already working. We're already doing some extraordinary things. But every little bit helps. I'm thankful to be on the show here today.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate it, and we behind you. I'm hoping for the best come November. What's the date? November 6th.
Yes, sir.
So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, thank you all for tuning in. Don't go nowhere. We'll be back in about 5 minutes, no later than 10 minutes. We'll be back with part two. Peace.
Amen. Coming, hell, it's like I've been running. Is my mind playing tricks on me, or is she one up on me? If I had to testify, I could only say she's the truth. It's like prayers went up and sent me you. Now I wasn't looking, I was fine on my own. Can come and go as I please, nobody questioning me. I don't know if things began to change. You came and turned it all around. Got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the top, that thing I know.
Got me saying amen.
Girl, you looking good. You keep that cooking good. Best thing for sure. Your love starts settling, settling on me. Like a kid in a blanket, made it hard for me to leave. And you gave me new love, the kind I never thought I'd see. And I'm eternally thankful. Got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I know.
Amen.
Girl, you looking good. You keep that cooking good. Best thing for sure.
Got me saying amen.
See, amen, yeah. I knew then what I know right now. I would have settled down a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if I hadn't met you, where would I be? You got me on bended knees, got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I know.
Saying amen.
Girl, you looking good. You keep that cooking good, best thing for sure.
Be saying amen. Yeah.
Oh, to make the people say,
yeah.
Oh,
the man stays, and then the people say, yeah. You make the people say, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I can put you in the condo, all the way up in Toronto. Baby, put you in the fur coat, how you riding in the Mar-a-Lago. I put you in the beach house, right on the edge of Costa Rica. Put one of them little flowers in your hair, have you looking like a flower, Mama Cita. Cause you look so good, you make me wanna spend it all on ya. Get up out this club, fly with your boy, and we can do what you wanna. Baby, I bought you in the back, cause you need a little persuasion, no. Plus, you need a little ventilation. Let's talk about who.
Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. One, two, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, comp, since to be the short shot. Come on, I met this girl when I was 10 years old. What I love most, she had so much soul. She was old school, I was a shorty, never knew throughout my life she would be there for me on a regular. Not a church girl, she was secular. Not about the money, studs, mic checking her. I respected her, she hit me in the heart. A few New York cats had did her in the park. She was there for me, I'm there for her. Pull out a chair for her, turn on the air for her, and just cool out and listen to her. Sitting on bone, wishing that I could do eventually. If it was meant to be, it would be. We related physically, mentally. She was fun then. I be geek when she come around. Slim was fresh, Joe, when she was underground. Original, pure, untampered, a down sister. Everybody, I miss her. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, hot, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, Tiny, that's the beat, the short shot. Come on, I might have failed to mention that this chick was creative. Once dude got to her, he altered her later. Told her if she got an image, a gimmick, she could make money. She what? She did it like a dummy. Now I see her in commercials. She's universal. Used to only swing it with the inner city circle. She be in the burbs looking rockin', dressed a hippie. And on some BS when she comes to the city talking. Popping Glocks, serving rocks, hitting switches. Now she's a gangster rolling with gangster itches. Always smoking blunts, getting drunk. Telling me sad stories. Now she only messes with the funk. Stressing how hardcore and real she is. Really the realest before she got in the showbiz. I did her, not just to say I did it, but I'm committed. But so many brothers hit it, she's just not the same, letting all them chumps do her. See Mark slamming her, taking her to the sewer. I'ma take her back, hoping that the it stops. Who I'm talking about, y'all? Hip-hop, 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 hip-hop,
hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop.
Everyone, I'm Tyron Joe, host of the BZNZ Internet Talk Radio Show, and it gives me great pleasure and honor to be able to present our wonderful show. BZNZ is a play on the word business. It is an online hub for conversation, enlightenment, and entertainment on the business of daily life. BZNZ shines a light on the realities generated by pop culture, society, and the challenges of daily living. We have spoke and will continue to speak on topics ranging from government, education, religion, health. Last but not least, one of our biggest topics, dating. We're not experts in any of the fields, but we just want to do our part and help. Please tune in every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, www.blogtalkradio.com/BZNZ. Also, our call-in number is area code 323-870-4617, and I cannot wait to hear from you. It's going to be great.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Thank you all for being patient with us. We just got to finish it up a great great interview with our good brother and friend, Brother Antonio Lipscomb, out of that's going to be running for office. Any independent ticket for District 17, City County Council, November 6th. All right, so all of you that live in that district. All of you that live in the district, 17, right here in the city of Indianapolis, please make your way to the parish to put this great brother into office. Welcome back, everybody, to the BZNZ Internet Talk Radio Show, where I am the gracious host, Tyron Joe. And you know what? I'm sitting back right now chilling because we're going to have a nice little... What we're going to do right now, we're going to have a nice little situation. You know, I told you to use this microphone because I'm going to sit back. I'm sitting back and chilling because we're going to talk. We're going to rap. We're going to rap about some things, okay? It's not going to be long at all tonight. You know, so it depends on how it's going to be long. You call in, because we're going to call in. The phone number is 803-273-4617. And we want to hear from you, okay? Because there was something that was in the news yesterday. Really, that was on the Facebook timeline. It was trending big in social media, which, in my opinion, I don't think it should have never even reached social media. But since it did, we're gonna go ahead and talk. Let me cue my little button up. Because I already know, I'm going to be doing some hollering with the echo. So, anyway, this sister, what she did was, she went on a live, well, I don't even know if it was live, but she went on a program. And she started to divulge. I don't know what to say that, but I guess she expressed her feelings about being rented. And this is Sister Aisha Curry. This is one of our own, Sister Aisha Curry, married to the basketball player Steph Curry. And from what I heard, she went on there and said that she wanted to feel desired. She said that she don't really get enough male attention, or she don't even get no male attention, and she wanna get her some male attention. Okay, that's cool. You wanna get you some male attention. Okay. Yes, I understand. You know, this is what everybody has been saying. You know, on Facebook is that, you know, everybody wants to feel desired. Yes, that's true. Everybody wants to feel desired, but there's something that's blocking, okay? One thing that's blocking is the fact that she's married. That's number one, which means that there is a code that men these days actually follow. When you see a woman with a ring, then you leave her alone, okay? Same as, the same, you know what I'm saying? You feel over the ring, you leave them alone, okay? That's probably why not too many men have tried to come up and say something to her. You see what I'm saying? That's probably why not too many men have tried to come up and say anything, because they are being respectful. They are being respectful of the marriage. But then, if a man tried to go holler at a woman that was married, what happens then? Oh my God, you're so rude. How can you try to talk to me? How dare you talk to me when I'm a married woman? You see what I'm saying? So, therefore, that's what I'm saying. It is crazy. Okay? Not only crazy, it's crazy. It's really, you know, like, wow, why would you go on a program? You know what I'm saying? Here's another question. Have you spoken to your husband about this? Did you speak to your husband first about this? Here's something else. That was an article I read, and a lot of people said it was fake. So, whether it's fake or not, I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. The article I read, she said the same thing, but she came back 2 weeks later saying that she came back 2 weeks later saying something about her and stuff talk, and she told him that he didn't satisfy her no more. And then she didn't tell him that the attraction ain't even there no more, and it's been like that for years. Now, some people said it wasn't true. Whether it's true or not, we're going to talk about it because there are women that do feel that way. They're not just women, but there are many women that do feel that way. Some women have been married to their husband for years. And, you know, 20, 30 years, and after about 5 or 10 of those, the thing is gone. Now, here's the thing, though. I believe that women should come out with their truth more, because at the end of the day, there's tons of women that have the truth. The truth that, you know, they do have attraction, and they do not only have attraction, but the truth that they want to skip out on their man and have sex with another nigga. Ladies, if you're listening to me, let the inner voice that's inside of you say this. Here it is. Do you have the sensation or idea that you would like to just skip out every now and then on your mate because you're tired of the same old, same old? Man, this is what it's all about. Being truthful. Being truthful tonight. This is what it's all about. So, ladies, listen to the inner voice again. The inner voice is asking you, are you satisfied in your marriage? Are you satisfied? I'm just being funny, but there are a lot of women out there that are in relationships and marriages. They're really not satisfied. They're not sexually satisfied. And the thing is, they're not ready to tell their husband, they're afraid to tell their husband. Whatever, so they just keep it suppressed. And I believe that they should tell their husband and tell God, but the one person that I don't think they should tell is the public. That's just the one thing, you know, because look what happens when you tell the public. This man's business was all out on social media. This man was just being dragged all through social media just like a rag doll. You know what I'm saying? He was dragged through social media like a rag doll. But, you know, I'm so glad that they won last night. I'm so glad Golden State won last night. But at the end of the day, some stuff is best kept in the bedroom. You know, bring all that out there. You know, bring all that out there to the general public, whether you are a celebrity or not. Like people talking about she said what she said, but next week she might be giving the boy. So now what? Let's bring it to my other question. Okay, when a woman started talking about, you know, they are not sexually satisfied, or they're not sexually attracted to their husband no more. You know what that means? Let me go ahead on and give you a cue, though. Do you know what that means? When a woman is not sexually satisfied with a husband, they don't find their husband sexually attractive anymore. Do you know what that means? Sad dick! That's what I mean. They got some side. They got some side coming in. I'm serious. I totally believe that Mrs. Curry, I mean, Mrs. Curry got another Negro coming through, banging out the ropes. Man, ain't nobody, man. I see everybody just coming in and thank y'all for the likes. Appreciate the likes. But who's going to call in tonight? Who's going to call in tonight? Because I think this is a great, great topic, man. I only got about 15 more minutes, so, you know, we're going to call in tonight. We're going to hear from you, Jerry. I mean, real quick, because I'm going to shut it down. And I just said pretty much what I'm going to say, because at the end of the day, number one, it's disrespectful to the marriage to even go on. I mean, really, seriously, I think it's disrespectful to the marriage to go on national TV, national internet, whatever, and talk about your own business life. You know, I mean, that's cool. You know, that's cool. I'll say, you know, that if the both of them came on the program and talked about it together, that's cool. But at the end of the day, you with the ladies, y'all have a sisterhood moment. You know what I'm saying? Y'all have a sisterhood moment, and you decide to divulge. You decide to divulge all this information. And you know what? You know what I'm going to say? You hear the echo? Disrespectful. That's what it is. That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's disrespectful to the marriage, to the sanctity of the marriage. That is very disrespectful. Man, I'm looking for people to call in, but ain't nobody calling in. So, man, I'm about to shut this thing down. It's going to be an early show tonight. This is going to be an early show tonight. Shout out once again to Antonio Lipscomb, man. We appreciate the brother, man. He's out there working hard. He's gonna do good for the community, and that's what we need. We need men and women. We need honest men and women that's gonna do great and wonderful things for the community, because how else are we gonna grow? How else are we gonna become unified? How are we gonna become one? If no one's out there that's willing to be honest, no one's out there to be willing to be 100 and put in the work to bring everybody out together. Then I'm going to give y'all a little bit more time, man, to call in. Man, I don't have nobody. Everybody can just love me. I'm on the show tonight by myself. I don't have nobody in the phone queue to talk to. Man, I'm just chilling. But I'm waiting for somebody to call in. Is that one? We're going to put in the altar call. We're going to do the altar call. Is that one? Will there be one? Man, nobody will go out and talk with Lord, Lord, Lord. Let me get some more music real quick. What a little bit of music real quick. Oh, let me see what I got going on over here. All right, here you go, ladies. I got a little song for you, ladies. Here you go.
You better put some clothes on. I ain't going nowhere with you like that. Every nigga in the club be trying to swoop her up. That's why I don't like taking her nowhere. Cause I'll start to spaz out.
Calling you.
Like, why the fuck you wear that to the club?
You know that ain't me, girl, no lie.
That never was the plan. Never wanted to be the jealous man. See, I always was a player. Never was a saver. Now the shoe is on the other foot. I know I got it
back. Big ass beat. Everybody wants
everybody.
That's something I can't get used to.
At first it was.
What's fine to me? Honestly, didn't mean no more.
Being with you is too hard for me. Everybody says that I'm a lucky man, but when you're by yourself, they're reaching for your hand. What's your name? Where you from? Where you going? Can I come? But you just too blind to see.
When you run the streets, rumors around me that you're suspect to cheat.
How the hell am I supposed to trust the one that everybody wants when I know she's too cold for me? All the fellas speak, ladies speak, everybody wants you.
That's something I can't
get used to, no.
I want somebody to call in. We've been looking for somebody to call in to talk about this, because everybody want to say that, you know, I just got the email comment talking about if there was a big problem, a lot of general public ain't saying it. Ma'am, I have looked at a whole bunch of, comments, and you know what I found? That a lot of people say it's best to stay at home, that it's best to stay in private. But I got another song for the afternoon, the Hammond, East Chicago people. I got a song for you.
Tired of my calls, so I'm just calling it back. You don't see nothing wrong with that.
for the 219.
This one is for all my girls. Shawty, you know it's your world. ECGIHMD, Maryville, all Lake County. Let them know we up here. All this money up here. All these killers up here. All these baddies up in here. 219, be my city. All the bitches, they be pretty. And they throw them shoes in any.
For the 219.
Alright, nobody
to talk to. Ooh, he fell off. Test the run, run. Test the run, run. Okay, alright, okay, alright.